Well, let's turn our attention now to Cyril Ramaphosa, that clever man, wealthy man who re-entered politics and now has a right mess on his hands. Where are we up to? EWN's politics editor, Shidi Madia, joins me now. Shidi, a very good afternoon to you. It's complicated, but it also seems quite simple. It does seem that the ANC's structures are backing the president at this stage and that there will be some kind of vote in parliament on Tuesday.
Good afternoon, Mike. It seems so. You know, the ANC at the beginning of this week instructing its members of parliament, its caucus, to reject the particular report, the Section 89 panel report. Obviously, they're using the fact that the president's gone to the Constitutional Court as a basis for that particular decision. I do know that there is a caucus meeting scheduled for Tuesday morning where they will deliberate and give that line of march formally to the caucus ahead of that sitting. So that's the one aspect of the story, Mike. But on the other front, what you also have is the actual ANC processes that Ramaphosa has to be subjected to. As I speak to you now, tomorrow there is a special National Executive Committee meeting, one more. And at this particular meeting, they will deal with outstanding reports. And that's where the ANC's own Integrity Commission will look at the Palapala matter and reach its own conclusion, including possibly calling for Ramaphosa to step aside. But I expect that the digital vibes matter will also be tabled. And that obviously speaks to the other candidate for presidency, William Kize.
All right, so the NWC has finished its deliberations and supported Ramaphosa for the moment. Is that correct? So now it's a matter for the NEC before the caucus meeting you talk about.
The NEC has done that. Both the NWC and the NEC, Mike, have done their jobs.
Okay.
That's done and dusted. The NWC met on Sunday. The NWC then gave a line of march to the NEC, and the NEC had an opportunity to either reject the view from the NWC or to accept it. I think what is also important to highlight is that they did find themselves at an impasse. It's just that the majority is in favor of Ramaphosa. They don't necessarily agree. And when you go to the NEC, which is a much larger grouping, because in the NWC, you've got 30 odd people. In the NEC, you've got 86 plus people sitting in that room. And in that particular meeting, they shut down any attempt for the panel to be adopted in any way. And that's what the line of march that was given to the caucus will be. And that's what will be taken to caucus formally, physically, on Tuesday before Parliament deals with it that afternoon.
Okay, if Parliament does get to deal with it, the ANC has a majority of 30. Is there any possibility that this motion will pass in spite of the NEC's directions?
I think the fact that it'll be open makes it very difficult, because then people are seen. Those who defy the organization will be seen. I don't think enough people will be there. As you said, they've got the majority. It'll take a lot for opposition parties and those who are his detractors in that caucus to try and mount up a fight to push towards an impeachment committee. I think that as long as an open vote, Mike, it becomes slightly difficult because they'll see. But there are people like Supra Mahumapelo who've said that they're open to defying the ANC party line, as it was done so in a secret ballot far back as 2016, 17, when people were trying to push out Jacob Zuma. At the time, you had the likes of Mondlane Ngubane coming out to the media that as far as they're concerned, they are loyal to the ANC constitution. So you have a few of those voices. I don't think that they're loud enough. I think that the ANC is considerate of the fact that if the impeachment process goes ahead, Mike, in the middle of what is seen as an election year, because 2023 is towards 2024's elections, that's a big campaign year. I don't think a political party can afford to campaign with a bruising impeachment process, literally dissecting the happenings around its president in the parliament. I don't think so. I think the ANC is cognizant of that as well.
But will those big names like Lindiwe Sisulu and Khosana Dlamini Zuma, have they declared their intention on how they will vote?
They've made many threats. It'll be interesting to see what they do. I mean, one would think, anyone with logic, actually, would think that if you've lost confidence in the leader, you have no business serving his government.
Yeah.
So it's not just about what they're threatening to show in Parliament. I think those are leaders that you must question for being remaining his ministers. They have no business serving his government if they have no faith in his credibility and abilities as a leader in Parliament, as a president that they serve.
All right, next step. Assuming the president survives the vote on Tuesday, then all eyes on Friday. The ANC conference gets underway. How is that shaping? Have there been any significant developments around that?
He's still sitting pretty, Mike. It's a very difficult one to read. In terms of the nominations and the ballot at the moment, Ramaphosa is sitting pretty. I've spoken to people in the ANC saying, you know, the threats of a resignation, first of all, were not legitimate. They felt that that was a strategy that Ramaphosa used quite successfully, mind you, to get the public sympathy, to garner public sympathy. I think it worked. But people say to you, the ANC knew that it couldn't risk him suddenly stepping down as president and withdrawing from the race. That would, of course, thrust the party into proper chaos, because there, any name could have tried to come up and tried to lead and become president. So as it stands, his name is still in the lead. I think those who are looking to the future are weighing up their options between Ramaphosa and Mkhize, and maybe candidates coming from the floor. And they'll say to you, as it stands, Ramaphosa might be sunk by the Palapala saga into the new year. So maybe you re-elect him as president of the ANC, hoping that, you know, he doesn't finish his term. I mean, the ANC has now set a precedent of having its president not finishing their terms. So there are people who are looking at him in that light as well. It'll be interesting to see. What I think is important to note is the fact that this Friday, tomorrow, Mike, the Integrity Commission report, which might say he must step aside, is going to be tabled tomorrow. I don't know yet which way it's going to go. The party's Integrity Commission had previously said there is cause of concern around this particular matter, that it does bring the party into disrepute, but it failed to apportion blame to anybody. So now with the independent panel report, one wonders whether or not the ANC's elders will now apportion blame to the ANC's president, and that will call for him to maybe resign. So maybe that'll thrust the party into the chaos they're trying to avoid. But I do think that this will be politically managed. They have a conference in less than 10 days. They will be mindful of how they approach that conference. If there's blood to be on the floor, it will not happen in the lead up to it. It'll happen at the conference, I say.
Gidi, thank you very much. Excellent summary of where we are in a complicated and important situation. Gidi Madia is our EWM political reporter. A busy time ahead for her as our politics editor. There is, as she says, the Integrity Committee hearing tomorrow. That could be important. Then there's the caucus meeting. Then there's Parliament. Then we go onto the floor of the conference. It's going to be a very interesting and turbulent time.